your eyes for the benediction. And now, as you go on your way, may God go with you. And may he go within you to give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. We rise.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens are the work of your fingers, yet you have willed to save us in the most humble and sacrificial of ways. Already as a holy baby, your Son was at work for our salvation by fulfilling your law and shedding his blood in circumcision. Receive our thanks for the gifts of righteousness and grace from his life of perfect obedience and his death in our place for our sins. Remember those in need who cry out to you for mercy. According to your will and wisdom, lift up your countenance upon them and give them your peace that passes all understanding. Bless us in this new year and preserve us in your name and faith until the day of our Lord's return in glory. We pray especially for those who have requested our petitions, including those who are grieving the death of loved ones, the family and friends of Ruth Western, the family and friends of Diane Colucci. O Lord, we pray that you would fill these grieving hearts with peace, with reassurance, with comfort, and with hope. And Father, we pray for those who are facing or recovering from health concerns, Robert Waldron, Trevor Sullivan, Marilyn Stargardt, Scott Pariseau, Jasper Sugg, Gloria Peterson, Helen Hotaki, Lenore Stevens, Jane Tylenda, Fred Rohrbach, Rose Laramie, Daniel Sawyer, Richard Cobb, Zach Endres, Fred Hollis, Phyllis Candy, Pearl Weber, Elmer Compton, Laura Anderson, Mary DeVoris, Cheryl Timlin, Bill Schlau, Dan Dillingham, Karen Barker, Diane Gasper, Kim Ruth, Bob and Linda Goldthorpe, Karen Barker, Gary Kane, Bernita Corbett, Myra and Shelley, Morgan Wolf, Marilyn and Bob Routh, Sue Eslani, Carol Wingo, Priscilla McFall, Sue Schmidt, Izzy Sherman, Sue Hawkins, Christine Hall, Heather, Joanne, Amy, and Kathy. Father, we pray that you would fill these people with reassurance and healing according to your divine will. We pray for those who are in hospice care, Mr. Cagle, Ron, and Janice Hawkins. Lord, grant them peace and faith as they await your call home. We continue to pray for the president and all local and world leaders. Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom and good judgment in carrying out their responsibilities. We pray for those who serve our nation in local police forces and all of the branches of the military. Father, bless them with your protection. We pray also for those who serve your holy church in the mission field. Father, bring success to their proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the cross for the sins of the world. And Lord, we pray today for all who are celebrating birthdays and wedding anniversaries. And we rejoice with Shelley Littleton and Mike Kamiskas, who were married on the 23rd of this month, this past month. Father, we pray that you would bless them as husband and wife and strengthen their marriage. We give you thanks, Lord, for the May and Ortal and Priscorn families who are sponsoring the Family of God Soup Kitchen this month. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always."
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's always as the year winds down, you get special things sent to you in the mail, advertisements that deal with, you know, the end of the year, the beginning of a new, and same thing happens here at Redeemer, and, you know, just, I think it was around October, November, you know, I got this sample calendar. It's called Faith Passages of 2017. And even says, you know, because you can buy these for people and have them personalized, Lutheran Church of the Redeemer on the bottom, like we're going to spend money on you people. But anyway, I always enjoy looking at the calendars and seeing the photos. And, you know, here's for December of 2016, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," a beautiful image, a winter scene. And, you know, I like looking at the scenery and everything. And obviously, I don't have a whole lot to do at work. And then I looked at the catalog of different calendars you can buy. I'm looking through the catalog, and here's fishing and hunting, country spirits. Here is the Catholic inspirations. Now, I looked at the artwork because I love Roman Catholic artwork. They have some of the best artwork. And you know I'm a closet Catholic, and you know I always tell you, we're not Protestants, we're Catholics, just not recognized by the Roman Catholic Church. Don't get me started on that, because I get upset when people call Lutherans Protestants. We're not. We're excommunicated, non-recognized Church of the Roman Catholics. But anyways, so I'm looking at the pretty, see, you get me off track like that. I'm looking at the pretty picture and, you know, Jesus, Catholic inspirations, and I look right across from the page. This is where the Catholic inspiration one would fold next to, and there you have scantily clad women, building babes and swimsuit babes. Now, it just doesn't seem to go together that the inspirational Roman Catholic calendar with Jesus on the front should be by the building babes, does it? It just doesn't seem right. And I thought to myself, you know, what was the person designing the layout thinking? You know, one of three things. The individual didn't realize and pay attention what they were doing and how it was laid out. Or they thought, hey, this is going to be funny. Put Jesus next to the scantily clad building babes, or they saw no problem with it. And I think they saw no problem with it. I think so often in life, you and I mix the things of the world with the things of God, and we see no problem with it. We have become so accustomed to what the world preaches. We have become so accustomed to what they have taught the world to live by, the standards, that we have accepted so many of those things, and we integrate those things into our very lives, things that have no business being on the same page with Jesus, things that have no business being in the life of the child of God. And we've just grown cold. We've just failed to recognize. We've become comfortable with the ways of the world intermingled with the ways of God. I mean, think about as we begin a new year, all the things on your calendar, all the things you do a day, all the things you try to accomplish, all the activities you give yourself to. How many of those things are appropriately lined up with God? And how many of those things don't fit in the life of a child of God? 1 John 2, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." That's why Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your minds on things above, not earthly things." Jesus said it so well in one verse in Matthew 16, verse 26. Jesus sums it up so well. "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" It says it all. You know, it's always at the end of the year. You know, they talk about the celebrities and the famous people who have died. You know, and my wife, she loves watching that, and I always get stuck watching that, and you know, you're watching all these celebrities. You'll see people on there, you think, like, wow, they were still alive? They were old when I was young. But every year they have the celebrities and the people have passed away. And do we realize, as a world, this is our greatest problem? Life ends. Our life ends. We stop breathing. Our body stops living. It's the greatest problem. What is left after that? And if you gain the whole world, it doesn't matter. In the end, you're left with nothing. You know, C.S. Lewis said, "Do not let your happiness depend on something you may lose." And so often, especially around Christmas time, where we get tricked to think that if we have this or that, that we'll be happy. And C.S. Lewis says, "Don't build or connect your happiness to something you'll lose, because eventually you will lose it." And then what do you have? What do you have to show for it? You know, I think about when we raise our children or interact with our grandchildren. We spend a lot of time teaching them what it means to be successful in this world, what it means to make a mark for yourself, what it means to be successful. And how much time do we spend talking to them about what it means to live as a child of God? Because in the end, the world will disappoint. In the end, if things go by natural order, that child, that grandchild, is going to stand at your grave and watch it being covered. Will they have any hope or any promise of ever seeing you again? Have you spent all your time and all your effort teaching them about the ways of the world and not the ways of God? You know, the Bible has called us to be world changers, not world chasers, and yet we have become world chasers in so many ways. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "As a prisoner of the Lord," he's in prison for being a believer, professing that faith, "as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." The word here, worthy, in the Greek, it brings an image to mind of a scale. Not a scale where you have to do enough good things to counterbalance the bad, and you have to have more good on one side than the bad in order to have heaven. No, heaven is yours through Jesus Christ. It's already been paid for on the cross of Calvary. Salvation is yours. But Paul is saying, look, put on one side of the scale everything God has done for you. We're in the midst of the Christmas season. God took on human flesh. He became one of us, born in the manger in Bethlehem. He lived that perfect life. He summed up his ministry so well by saying, I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. He lived that perfect life, went to the cross and died for us, and rose again. And not only just put that on the scale, but put everything God has done for you in your life, all the blessings that you have received, put that on one side of the scale. And then Paul says on the other side, let your life counterbalance all that he's given you. Let it be worthy of all that he has sacrificed for you. Now, when you look at your life that way, you think, wow, I have really failed to live that life worthily of God's calling. You know, so often the heart, the human heart, the human mind, the human intellect will mislead us. Jeremiah 17:9 said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It's the sinful heart that will mislead us. It is the sinful ways of humankind that will send a message to us that's far different from the message of God. Paul says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. Paul says there's two voices preaching to you, the world and God. And he said, you better distinguish between the two because there's a big difference. You know, the world has one definition of love. You know, God's definition is a little different than what the world preaches. Do you feel that tension? If you don't, either you don't know what the world is preaching or you don't know what God is preaching. But there's two different messages. There's two different ways of life. There's two different proclamations, and they are very different. And the more you know the Word of God, the more you reflect upon His message, the more you study, the more you're going to see that this world has a different message that is not a message pleasing to God. And the more that the love of this world prevails, the more the love of God decays in this world, in your life, in this church. Titus 2 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That is not the preaching of the world. That is the preaching of God, to be self-controlled, to live upright, to live a life worthy of your calling. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We live a life for God. I want you to spend some time this whole year, really, really think about it, because, you know, every day we're in our calendars. Every day we look at our schedule. Every day we look at our responsibilities. Ask yourself, for the 365 days, God willing, you'll have on this earth, what fits in that calendar as a child of God and what doesn't? What stands out like those building babes next to the inspirational calendar of Jesus Christ? What doesn't connect? What doesn't fit? What doesn't belong? Get rid of it. Change your ways. Now, certainly not going to be perfect. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You know, 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. And within a couple months, 97% have failed. You know, Jesus said to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when he awaited for his betrayal, and they promised to stay awake and they kept falling asleep. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Yes, the flesh is weak, and Jesus understands that. But he calls us to a higher calling. And when you do stumble and fall, come to that cross again. Be reminded that you have a new year, a new beginning. You have a new beginning each and every day. And when you learn and study more and more the Word of God, you're going to understand what pleases God. And you just don't have to focus on God's Word. You can focus on those things that are beautiful in the sight of God. And those things will fill you with joy, with happiness and contentment. And so I leave you with the words from Philippians 4:8, the whatever verse of the Bible. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anyone is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle is taken from the first book of John, the second chapter. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Here ends the epistle reading.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel reading this morning is recorded in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye of the lamp is the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here ends the gospel reading. We continue with the sermon hymn. Please be seated. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, what is your source of comfort and encouragement?
Our help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth.
With joy, receive these words of greeting from God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Praise, O children of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. How can we repay the Lord for all his goodness to us?
We will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. We will fulfill our vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Our spoken prayer of confession. Merciful God and Father in heaven, you are faithful and just. You are willing to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Before you and our sisters and brothers, we confess that we have spoken many empty words and have at times broken even our most sacred vows. Our sins are an affront to you. They are a disgrace before the watching world, and they have caused us unspeakable pain. Through our Lord Jesus, may we begin this new year with the joy of knowing we belong to you, with the freedom of being purified by your blood, and with the healing which your grace alone can bring. In the name of our blessed Savior, we pray. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
Invite the children forward. Children's message. Good morning. Did you stay up to midnight?
No.
Me neither. I had to work today, so I had to go to bed early. You know, I had to come today. That's the only way I'll get paid. If I don't show up, I don't get paid. Did you come because you want to, or your parents made you? They made you? Yeah. You know what? Growing up, my parents made me brush my teeth. Some days I didn't want to brush my teeth, but it was a good idea to brush my teeth, wasn't it? It was a great practice. Sometimes we're forced even to go to church, but going to church, you learn great things, and you may not even want to go some days, and you go, and you learn, I'm happy I'm here. If I had a choice, I probably wouldn't be here, and I had to be here, and I'm happy I'm here because I'm surrounded by friends, and it's nice to come and worship God and sing hymns and be reminded that God loves me, especially as we go into a new year. I have a calendar here. You guys probably know what a calendar is, right? And every day you like when the calendar says no school, and some days there's school, and oh, you like when there's a winter break, you like when summer vacation comes, and you know, all the days of the year. And we don't know what's going to happen every day. We just, even when we get up in the morning, we may have a plan of something going to go this way, and then by the end of the day, everything has changed. And life can be scary, especially when we don't know what is in front of us. But we know who we belong to, right? Yeah, we belong to God, and he's going to take care of us. You know what's going to be important to remember this year, especially when bad times come? I'm going to give you this little button. I'm wearing one because I'm one of God's kids. It says, Jesus loves. Well, I need glasses. I'm an old God's kid, but I need glasses. Jesus loves this kid. See that? And he's got two thumbs. Jesus loves this kid. And I need to be reminded, Jesus loves me each and every day, when days are good and when days are bad, especially when days are bad. So pick a button that says, Jesus loves this kid, and be reminded how much Jesus loves you. And thanks for coming today. I'm happy to be here too. Good morning. Happy New Year. Thanks for being here today, and as always, please take time to sign the guest card. Also, we do have coffee hour immediately following in the town square. Next Sunday, following the 10:30 service, we have our on decorating party here at Redeemer. So if you could come and help on decorate the church, we'd really appreciate it. That'll be following the 10:30 service. Also, Women's Winter Retreat, a spa experience, January 6th and 7th. So if you're interested, check that out in the announcements. We have the Ultimate Date Night coming January 27th. Jay and Laura LaFoon, they go across the country talking about relationships and marriage, and you can go check them out on the internet. They're very entertaining, great message. And usually when they have an event like this, 200-300 people attend. So we are selling tickets. It's going to be here at Redeemer, so please check that out in your announcements. Also, February 18th through the 25th, we're going to Baton Rouge for our mission trip, hurricane relief. If you're interested, check that out in the announcements. We'll probably have an informational meeting coming up mid-January if you're interested. Also, a sermon series starting in January. We're going to end January on the 29th with a discussion on the Crusades. Were they justified or not? A lot of discussion in our day and age about the Crusades. Also, we are moving Jumping Jehoshaphat from January 22nd to January 15th, and we're moving the January 15th sermon to the 22nd. Let me tell you why. We're talking about why do we eat animals? Where did that come from? How did it start? Jesus created everything with God the Father, true. Why did he eat fish? Shouldn't he be a vegetarian? So somebody asked that question. We're going to talk about some of that. And we're going to talk about the Bible diet found in the book of Daniel. And the reason I moved it a week back, I was going to do the Bible diet before the sermon to tell you about it, but I thought, do you want to join me? So it's a 10-day diet. We're going to start on January 10th. We'll do the Bible diet. On the website at Redeemer by January 4th, we'll have the information up about what kind of foods you can eat, some ideas of what you can cook, and then we'll have a daily devotion for the 10 days also. It's sort of a spiritual exercise. So please join me on the Bible diet. We'll have you weigh in. No, we won't. But it should be a great experience. And with that, we rise for opening hymn.